Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Pneumatic Company Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhirendra Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Let me welcome you to 3Q FY22 post-result conference call of Kirloskar Pneumatic Company Limited. I am glad to have with us today Mr. K. Srinivasan, Managing Director, and Mr. Suhas Kolhatkar, CFO. I congratulate both of them for continued strong performance despite challenges over last few months. Now I request Mr. Srinivasan to give a brief on the performance, post which we will open the floor for question and answer. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening to all. Thank you, Dhirendra Bhai. Before we start, I'm gonna request our Company Secretary, Mr. Jitendra Shah, to give our
Safe harbor.
Safe harbor call.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to all. The presentation uploaded on the website of the company and discussion on the financial results during the earnings call may contain statements relating to future business developments and economic performance that could constitute forward-looking statements. While these forward-looking statements represent the company judgments and future expectations, a number of factors could cause actual developments and results to differ materially from expectations. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly revise any forward-looking statements to reflect future events or circumstances. Further, investors are requested to exercise their own judgments in assessing various risks associated with the company and also the effectiveness of the measures which taken by the company in tackling them, as indicated during the discussions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jitendra. Once again, good evening to all of you. At the outset, let me start by wishing you all a very happy, safe year ahead. I know most of us have gone through the third version of the COVID, and hopefully, this should end soon. As far as our own company is concerned, I think we have peaked, and mercifully, it has been not as destructive as it was in the earlier two waves. Coming to the results, Q3 is historically a truncated quarter because we have block closure for Diwali. Added to this, we had this year disruption in Europe due to Omicron, which was there earlier than it was in India, and of course, the chip shortage issues that continued right through. Plus, we had the earlier shutting down for Christmas vacation, which also added to the problem. In spite of all this, we delivered compressors and compression systems to all key requirements for oxygen generation, for CNG stations, for the pharma industry, for oil refineries, and for the cold chains. The last week of December, we started seeing delay in customer clearances from sites so that some of those packages which were ready could not be shipped. This ended up with inventories for us and which we will clear it as we speak in Q4. The order bank as on first January was over 1,200 crore. This is some kind of a record compared to the 927 that we started this year with. We expect to do a strong Q4. The company completed all the oxygen compressor projects that we had taken up in Q1 and Q2, and these plants, most of them have been commissioned and put to use. They were all well in place for a potential requirement during the third wave. The expected repeat order in this space largely did not materialize on account of the buyers opting for cheaper imports. This was a bit of a surprise to us because we were told that the customers would be repeating the first batch, but this didn't happen. In any case, it remains to be seen how these cheaper imports perform, and we are hopeful in the medium term this could again translate into business for us. In the gas and refrigeration space, we had good order inflow from projects from India and abroad. CNG package deliveries, like I mentioned, were largely to plan except in December, where there was some deferment of shipment due to sites not being ready. This, as I said, are being completed in Q4. Sales in the quarter was 227 crores as compared to 180 crores of the previous year. The YTD level sales at 623 crores as compared to 408 of the previous year shows a growth of 53%. This quarter saw the impact of input cost increase on the margins. As you realize that we started with a strong order backlog, consequently we were executing orders that were booked earlier at newer costs. This meant that our margins were under threat for this quarter. The cost pressure will continue in the fourth quarter also, but it will marginally improve because the orders were booked later than what the third quarter orders were. However, we'll be able to reduce the impact to some extent by execution of the recently booked orders at revised prices. The EBITDA margin as of Q3 is 11.1%. It already shows a fall of 0.6% compared to the last year, and we hope that it would stay here or get better in Q4. The company completed the development of screw compressor for the refrigeration systems. The production has started and we will launch the Kione series of screw compressors for the refrigeration plants, largely for pharma and food processing industry. Trial production and testing of the hydraulic booster compressor. Again, this is an important project for us, particularly with the new 11th round of bidding being completed. We expect significant order inflows in this. The necessary approvals are being obtained so that we can start participating in tenders. The road railer business did see some disruption on account of rains and flooding at the Chennai end during 2 weeks. However, the overall operations continue to be strong as far as the regular operations are concerned. In the meanwhile, the railways have been approached by the container rail operators to permit road railers to be attached to the container wagons itself. This could be a major shift in our business opportunity if this is to be approved. And then we will be able to offer the railers to be attached to the container train operators. The Nashik plant is being suitably readied and we are gearing up for production as and when this materializes. The order bank, like we mentioned, is over 1,200 crore. Several active inquiries are under discussion both with Indian customers and overseas, and we see a continued strong demand for our products. In order to execute the orders in a quicker manner, as you would understand that today, larger packages take anywhere between 9 to 12 months. We need to have a larger executing capacity. So the company has built a new assembly and testing bay at Saswat. We have also put in place a newer fabrication area to handle the refrigeration compressors and for its testing. The company has committed for this purpose 26 crores of capex, and this is being completed during this year. The free cash from the operations was 62 crores, showing the quality of earnings is very good. The board has declared an interim dividend of 80%, 1 rupees 65 per equity share of 2 rupees face value. Now let's discuss the various product lines in the compression business. The air compressor business, as you know, is one of the largest as far as the global market is concerned. A recent report that you would have all seen shows it as growing at about 4.5 to 5%, and it's now valued at about $28 billion. So this continues to grow, and we now have a larger range of screw compressor offerings made completely at our Hadapsar works. This we expect will offer us a chance to participate in the larger air end markets across the globe. Here we would ship not just the compressor, but we could ship air ends itself across the globe. Current fully integrated manufacturing capability based on our own design manufacturing will allow us to be hugely cost competitive. The reciprocating compressor business continues to grow with strong orders from iron and steel plants, LPG bottling plants, and from the biogas plants. Centrifugal compressor deliveries have been stepped up. We are now working to offer standardized centrifugal compressors for dry air applications. These will be competitively priced and be far more economical and efficient compared to the dry screws that are currently being used in this application. The business is likely to scale up significantly considering the inherent advantages your company has in terms of its own gear box production capability. refrigeration compressors and systems. During this quarter, we delivered a major package of about 31 crore to the Indian Oil Corporation for LPG and storage and handling butane and other gases. Sale of ammonia compressors for the cold chain ice plants across India was as usual. We expect this to pick up significantly in Q4. Export of these compressors, however, have been affected by the Omicron wave. We received orders for the vapor absorption chillers from paper mills, pharma and cement plants, and these are being executed as per our plan. The process gas compression systems, sales of CNG packages were stepped up during this quarter to meet the increasing demands. We continue to have significant traction from the market and we are booking further orders in this space. However, shipments in December, like we mentioned, were delayed on account of sites not being ready, and these shipments have since been made in Q4. There is a strong demand for the hydro booster compressor that we expect to launch during the first quarter of next year. Our product is now being subject to necessary tests and approvals by the required authorities. We expect to be in the market in Q1 of F23. As can be expected from our company, in spite of the COVID challenges, the company continues to run all its CNG installation across the 15 states on a 24/7 basis. We have a major overseas project of 35 crore under advanced stages of execution. Several inspection and testing processes have been completed, and we expect to start making shipments of this in February. Overall, the compressor market continues to grow, and with a clear shift towards gasified energy basket, be it hydrogen, CNG, biogas, etc., the demand for gas packages continues to be very buoyant and strong. Outlook for Q4, with a strong order bank and several projects under final stages of execution, we will deliver double-digit growth, and we stay committed to our longer aspirational target of 2,000 crore plus in the next 2 to 3 years. Now I'm going to request our CFO, Mr. Suhas Kulatkar, to take us through the financials. Thank you. Suhas.
Yes. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I will take you through the financial results of the KPC for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2021. At the outset, let me wish you all a very happy and a healthy, particularly a healthy new year, 2022. I hope you were able to go through the results which we posted on the BSE website earlier today after the board meeting. We also uploaded a presentation and Q3 results on our company's website, so you may visit and have a look at those results as well. However, for the benefit of those who probably did not get a chance to have a look at those results, let me now summarize Q3 and 9 months financial performance of FY22. On a quarter-on-quarter comparison, it was a flat third quarter for us and was more or less at the level of Q2. However, it showed a YOY growth of 26%. For 9 months, company achieved 53% growth over the previous year. This was possible by completing the supply of screw and reciprocating compressors for generation of oxygen to treat the COVID-19 affected patients. In addition, sale of CNG compressors also contributed to the growth in the top line. Had there been no holds from the customers for readiness of their sites, growth could have been higher in Q3 itself. Customers releasing the clearances will now translate into this growth in Q4. Having tracked and analyzed the company's performance during the earlier years, most of you are familiar that the company's quarter-on-quarter performance gets influenced by the mix of the product and the projects. Most of the projects gets executed in the fourth quarter, and as such, quarter-on-quarter comparison at times does not lead to any indications. I will therefore mostly talk on YOY and YTD performance comparison. On this background, I would like to present the quarter 3 and YTD December 21 results of the current fiscal. Top line, as Mr. Srinivasan said, registered a growth of 26% as sales for the quarter rose to 227 crores compared to 180 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Sales for 9 months we're at 623 crores, registering a 53% growth over the previous year. YTD December other income stayed at the same level as that of previous year. Similarly, YTD December material cost was at 54.2% compared to 48.7% in the previous year, as the product mix was significantly different than the previous year. This percentage is in line with the annual cost percent with and comparable with the industry trends. However, price rise in input costs, especially in quarter three, pushed the material cost to 54% compared to 50% in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The rise in YTD December 21 employee costs represents liberal increments and promotions given to all deserving employees who stood by a difficult period of pandemic during the last fiscal. As a result, employee costs rose to Rs. 96 crores compared to Rs. 83 crores in the previous year. Expenses in both the quarters in the current fiscal are more or less similar. You would recall that company had availed a loan of Rs. 40 crores in the last quarter of the previous year as an abundant precaution to take care of any financial need just in case it arises due to COVID-19 disruption. Finance cost therefore is higher at 2.1 crores compared to 0.8 crores of the previous year. During the last earning call, we had indicated that the company will take appropriate decision to either repay or continue with the said borrowings in the near future, considering the money market situation, growth plans, and the financial needs of the current fiscal. Based on our operating performance and our assessment of the future needs, we decided to foreclose this exposure and entire Rs. 40 crores have been repaid in full. The company therefore has no loans, whether term loan or working capital loans, on its books and is a debt-free company as on 31st December 2021. At this juncture, I would also like to state that the company has a net cash position of about 190 crores as on 1st January 2022, particularly after paying dividend of Rs. 22.5 crores declared in the last AGM and the loan amount of Rs. 40 crores. Depreciation is in line with the previous year and the additions to assets. As MD has briefed you, we have committed to a capex of about 429 crores in the current fiscal to support our growth. Consequently, there will be some impact on depreciation in the last quarter depending upon the capitalization. Other expenses are a mix of fixed and variable costs and do move in line with the top line, and the YTD level is at 20.5% of sales compared to 20.8% of the previous year. We should be at around 18% for the financial year 21. There is no significant variation in the level of expenditure, and cost controls exercise in the previous year continue in the current year also. EBITDA in the current year was marginally lower at 11.1% compared to 11.7% in the previous year. This was mainly on account of drop in margins attributable to rise in the material cost, which due to large order board could not be passed on to the customers. With volume growth and sales mix, we expect the year-end EBITDA to be higher than the current level. PBT as a consequence of Q3 was at the same level of Q2 in current year, however dropped to 6.8% in Q3 compared to 10.5% of Q3 of the previous year, again attributable to the material cost rise in the product and the product mix. In the corresponding quarter of the last year, we had a material cost about 50%, which rose almost to 55% during the current year. However, YTD December 21 PBT jumped to Rs. 41 crores, 6.5% of the revenue, compared to Rs. 20 crores, just 4.7% of the revenue in the previous year, representing over 100% YTD growth over the previous year. PAT was at 4.8% and showed a growth of about 17 crores over the previous year. Company issued 45,500 equity shares during the quarter. As such, 136,100 shares were issued in the first 9 months under the employee stock option programs. Consequently, paid-up share capital has increased marginally to Rs. 12.88 crores compared to 12.85 crores as at the beginning of the year. Non-annualized EPS improved to ₹4.74 for the period ended 31st December 21 compared to ₹2.10 per share in the corresponding period for the previous year. Company's non-current investments resulted in a net unrealized gain of ₹10.6 crores in OCI of the current year. With about 95% of the revenue coming from compression segment, it remains the only reportable segment. Previous year's figures have been regrouped wherever necessary to correspond to this reporting. The segment earned a profit of about 15% both in 9 months of the current and previous financial year. Full year segment profit was about 18% and we hope to reach to that level in the current fiscal as well. Order booking for the 9 months period of the current year was over ₹900 crores as against 600 crores in the previous year. As a result, company has an order book of over 1,200 crores as on 1st January 22 compared to 990 crores of the previous year. Capital employed in the compression segment has increased by rupees 22 crores, particularly in the form of inventory to support Q4 dispatches. During this 9 months period, about 50% of business was from projects and as against average 60% which happens during the year. In the year and a balance from the products, product business. Company expects more business of projects in quarter four and thereby we would more or less hit a 60% business of the annual sales. As indicated in the last earning call, impact of input cost increase is possible to be passed on to the market only in respect of orders for products booked recently. However, with more project orders coming up for execution and pending orders of the products, as you have seen, as the company has a strong order book, it may not be possible to pass the price rise in Q4, which may see similar impact on margins in the last quarter also. I think I have briefed on the future outlook, how the quarter four has will look more or less look like on in terms of margins, and I also covered Q3 and YTD December 21 results, and we shall be happy to take any questions on the financial performance now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Shweta Mehta from Credent AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So I wanted, first my question was on the finance cost. Is it attributable to only the loan that, the debt that you had taken for, for safety purpose? So there is no capex, nothing in the plan?
Yes. There was a scheme which was available in the market to against which we had taken this borrowings as a matter of abundant precaution during the last, in December 2020, just okay. To, as an abundant precaution to any eventuality that could have arose because of COVID disruption. We did not find that, and as per the terms of the loan, we had an option to exit at the first anniversary of the loan, and we did exercise that option.
Okay. So my another question is on the other expenses. YOY, it has increased by 47%. So is there any particular reason, any significant expense?
No, there is no significant expenses. Are you looking at a YTD figures?
Yeah, 31st December.
See, basically, as I said, the other expenses is a mix of both fixed and variable costs. As volume has increased from 408 crores to 620 crores, 22 crores, certain operating expenses have also gone into other expenses which cannot be classified necessarily into material and changes in the inventory.
Okay, okay. So my another question is on the revenue breakup between export and local. So can you give us a breakup between the
export? Sorry, come again?
Revenue breakup.
The export business, can you give us a breakup in revenue from export and local?
Yeah, our export has been roughly about 20 crores so far, and we have a large package, like I mentioned, that's going to be exported out in Q4. So by the end of the year, we expect that our export is likely to be about 60 crores.
60 crores.
50, maybe 50.
Yeah, between 55 to 60 crores.
Okay, okay. And my last question is, so that's what actually my another question was, that you know, about the major overseas project, we can see the visibility in the quarter four result as well as the annual results, right?
Your question is not very clear. I think your audio is a little muted.
Can you hear me now better?
Yes, better.
So my next question was in that only, that major overseas project that you mentioned, we can see the income visibility in quarter four result or the annual result, right?
You will see it in Q4 as well as in the annual, because it will get shipped out in Q4.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir, and good luck for your next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, participants may press star and one on their touchtone phone now. We have next question from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, so my question is that because of the raw material inflation that we saw in the last 9 or 12 months, in new orders you can quote new prices. So I understand that margins will be protected, but are you seeing any deferment which customers are doing just because, you know, their capital costs would have increased so much because of the input raw material prices? Just if you can give some idea on the demand outlook in the non-CNG business of your compressor. Thank you. That's from my side.
Yeah, I couldn't get your questions completely because I think the audio was not very clear, but I understood the broad trend of your question, and based on that, I'll give you an answer. Our business is roughly about 65 to 70% B2G. That means it's business to the government. Consequently, it's tender-based. It is at least a 6 months to a 1.5 year cycle by the time we quote and by the time we get an order and execute. Now what happens is, traditionally, international prices are corrected maybe once in a year. Last year was a historic change. We have had 3 price corrections from most products which you buy, plus almost all major commodities, be it copper, iron, etc., all gone up by at least between 15 to 20%. So we couldn't predict or plan this in our pricing as we put out. Consequently, orders had to be executed at new cost, but these were old orders at the old costing. Consequently, that is where we lost about 4.5% on material cost compared to the previous year. Now, it will increasingly get corrected going forward because you will have more and more newer orders to be executed, which have been corrected accordingly for the newer costs. So Q4 you will see some marginal improvement, and Q1 of next year this would have got absorbed fully with newer prices. That is broadly the trend of how this will play out. As far as demand is concerned, I said in the beginning, all the 3 product lines, be it air compressors, be it refrigeration compression systems, or be it gas compression systems, the demand is exceptionally robust. This is across the world, and this is a global trend driven by several major changes in the way the energy basket of the world is being orchestrated going forward. Consequently, this demand is a sustained longer term demand and it will continue to grow.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. That answered both my questions. Sir, and lastly, in the CNG business, we were almost like a duopoly structure. Have you seen any new players come up in the last like 6 months or so?
In the CNG business, we'll have to look at it in two parts. The traditional CNG compressor is about the same as what we mentioned earlier. But the larger growth in this space is happening with the booster compressors, where the newer lines are being auctioned. People are starting to deliver CNG gas where pipelines are yet not laid. So that is done through what is called as the booster compressor. This is growing even faster than the regular business. This is where we are entering the market from first quarter next year.
Okay, sir. So all the best and thank you for your insight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Deep Sangoi from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking up my question. Hello.
Yes, it's clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you mentioned about the order book, which has been growing in size. So, like, could you give us a segment-wise order book breakup, like which segments have been picking up?
All the three segments continue to have the similar kind of order inflow. I would say the longer cycle orders are predominantly in the gas part of the segment. The refrigeration also has a mix of both shorter and longer cycle business. The air compression business tends to be more on the shorter cycle business.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Got it, yeah. Thank you, sir. And best of luck going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Amit.
So thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was on the order backlog. You mentioned that your order backlog is currently somewhere around about 1200 odd crores. Out of that, sir, what proportion of the order book would be an old pricing backlog, sir? So where we might see, the margin compression in the fourth quarter. So how much of that old pricing order backlog is still pending with us?
I would say about 50-50, Amit.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So around 600 crores of orders are still where we might face some margin compression.
About so.
Okay.
A few of the orders may get postponed to the next year for execution.
Okay. Okay. And sir, you also mentioned regarding this quarter also, we have seen some lapses with regards to, customer accepting the delivery. So what would be that number, sir? What is the kind of revenue that we have missed in this particular quarter because of this issue?
We could have done probably anywhere between 40 to 50 crores more if people had accepted whatever was ready for shipment. And that could have had not only an impact on our top line, but also helped us on our bottom line.
Okay. So, secondly, my question was on the booster station that you talked about, that we will be introducing this particular segment machines right from first quarter onwards. So, has the prototype and everything been ready, and are we pre-qualified for that particular segment, or there is no pre-qualification as such that we require?
We are pre-qualified on this area based on what we have approved from the authorities. We have to get it still confirmed by a testing agency which is based out of Nagpur. They have to certify it for certain test criteria, which is being done as we speak. And once this is done, we can participate in the tenders.
Okay. So from first quarter onwards, we can start participating into tenders, right?
Hopefully, assuming that we get all the approvals, which we expect. So then we will be participating in tenders from first quarter.
And sir, what is the kind of order inflow we expect from the daughter station or the booster station compressor segment, sir? for next year? What could be the incremental order inflow that this segment can support?
We will have to take it quarter by quarter. It's a new launch. We have to get three things in place. One is our manufacturing. Second is our price point. Third is our competitiveness as compared to the other players already in there. The potential is large. Like we said, we are talking of in a five-year window, something like 8,000 odd booster compressors would be in the market, and we expect to be a significant player in this. We will take it quarter by quarter.
Sir, one more question on the margin front. I just wanted to understand that, you know,
Amit, we lost you.
Mr. Amit, we're not able to hear you. Sorry, we seem to have lost the line of Mr. Amit. We take the next question from the line of Charanjit Singh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, Srinivasan sir, can you hear me?
Yes, Charanjit, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So first of all, on this CGD opportunity, which we have talked about, and, you know, our product is also getting ready. So in terms of, you know, the near-term visibility or the tender pipeline, are there any numbers which you can share on that front?
I think we just mentioned, so far, I think we talked of at least about 5,000 compressors on the CNG and about 8,000 compressors on the booster in the next at least 5 to 8 years. We have to see how this plays out. The 11th bit of auctioning is over. That seems to be predominantly going towards booster. That's why I said there's going to be about 8,000 booster compressors coming up. But we will take it as it gets executed. There is a visibility, there is a roadmap clearly put out, and we are working on this.
Okay. And, sir, on the air compressor side, you know, which is like almost around 15-20% of our business, there, you know, any major pickup in the overall outlook, if you can share the, you know, outlook on that perspective on the air compressor side?
The air compressor part of the business, like we said earlier, is about 25% of KPCL, and that is where we expect it to continue. Globally, this is a larger part of the compression business, and it continues to grow globally. We are not that big a player, and consequently, the delta, the headroom available for us to grow in this is significant. Several new launches are coming in. Like we said, our range of screw compressors is being enhanced. We are coming up with a new dry centrifugal compressor to be placed in the market. So we expect to see a larger growth coming in this space.
Okay. And on the refrigeration side, again, you know, we were doing some efforts in terms of scaling up. And there, on the refrigeration side, if you can touch upon, are there any, you know, positive moves in terms of the changes and how the market is evolving?
Yeah, like you already know that we are a dominant player in the reciprocating ammonia compressors, which is used by the cold chains, etc. But we are launching a mid-range of product, which is currently not being made by anybody locally. It is still being served by imports. This is the refrigeration screw compressor. This will address the burgeoning food processing industry as well as the pharma industry, currently being served by imports. Our product will hit the market from first quarter of F23, and we expect to take a significant share of this progressively. Like you know, plants don't get approved and installed straight away in bulk. So we would have to establish it. Initially, it's going to be a lot of work to get it accepted, and then it's going to be much faster because there is a huge advantage being locally made, locally serviced.
Okay. So, and we are also, you know, very keen on the export markets. You know, we're looking forward to new orders. So, you know, as we go forward in terms of the Middle East and those markets, how you are seeing the opportunity opening up in a bigger way? And, you know, while we want to keep it restricted to one particular level, but how are the opportunities shaping up in the export side?
Yeah, like we mentioned in the last call, our export would be driven by more of packaged products, what we call as project exports, rather than just a product or equipment export. Here we believe there is a competitive advantage based on our ability to design, engineer, manufacture, install and maintain these packages. We are targeting to do this in the oil and gas space as well as in the refrigeration petrochemical industries, primarily to start with in Middle East and Southeast Asia, which is where we think our competitive advantage is significant. The large orders that we are now executing as well as what is under discussion are all in this space. Our longer term ambition is to have exports moving up from this year, what is likely to be about 5% plus, to about 10 to 20% in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, sir. So thanks for taking my questions. I'll circle back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Nilesh Jethani from BOI AXA Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a decent set of numbers considering the impact of commodity prices. So my first question was on this CNG or the gas opportunity. Just wanted to understand today in the market, say there's demand for 100 compressors. What kind of number goes for this mother compressors and what would be for this booster compressors?
See, at the moment, what has largely gone in have been the mother compressors. The booster compressor business is an evolving, growing business. We expect it to overtake the mother compressor business going forward. At the moment, they would probably about anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 mother stations already at least being put up. Whether they actually commissioned or not, deliveries have been made. Some of them are in the process of being commissioned. But this is what has happened over the last 5 odd years. But what we expect to happen in the next 5 years is multiple times more than this. Now, as we speak, we must also be careful that there is a temporary shortage of gas in the global market and a whole lot of things playing out. So we will have to see how this moves forward. Now, government is also doing a couple of other things in this space. First is one auctioning of the 11th round of auction is completed. So larger oil companies have all announced how much of lines that they have taken. This is clearly showing that there is a stronger move towards quickly getting the gas connections up, which means booster compressors will outgrow the mother stations on the first phase. In this, also what will happen is the booster compressors will get used more if you have to link up the biogas line into this. So we expect in the next 5 years, booster compressors as a business would be probably growing faster, maybe double as much as the mother compressor. And that's the reason the company took a call to enter this market, has its product ready and launching it in the first quarter next year.
Got it. So pardon me for my understanding, but just dwelling on this question itself. So a CNG station which is connected via the main CNG station would have a booster compressor and the main CNG station would be having mother compressor, right?
See, what we call as mother compressor is where it is connected to the pipeline. Wherever there is a pipeline, let's say if it's in Bombay or Pune, you have a MNGL pipeline, and in the pipeline, if it is connected, we call it as a CNG station today. These are the pneumatic compressors, and this is generally either driven by a motor or by an engine in many cases. In cities where there is power cuts, like in Pune, where you don't have power on Thursdays, we will end up having gas engines running these power stations. Now, where the pipelines itself is not being laid, if you travel on the road between Pune to Nasik, right across on both sides of the road, you will see CNG stations. There is no pipeline here. Or in these places, the gas still needs to be dispensed and given to the vehicles. That is done through boosters. Now, these boosters actually take the gas from cassettes, where they are stored in cylinders and brought to these stations and left there. And from these cylinders, it is dispensed into the vehicle. And as these cassettes get emptied, they will get refilled out there. So that is how it is done till a pipeline gets laid.
Got it. So today, the opportunity size, say, 8,000 in the 9th and 10th and another 3,500 in the 11th round. So your sense on what could be the mother compressor requirements and what would be the requirement for booster? Since we are entering in a big way, since starting of next year into booster, so wanted to understand the breakup you envisage going ahead.
See, we have been saying that it could be about 5,000 of the mother and about 8,000 of the booster over the next 5 to 8 years. We must be careful when we talk of all these things, because like we experience now, while the intent and the professed aim is to have them dispensed and put out as quickly as they can, it generally tends to take more time than what it is announced. So we have to be careful as how it actually gets executed.
Okay, got it, sir. So my second question was on the refrigeration side. So today, out of the refrigeration business, what percentage would be coming from this ammonia-based refrigerants which are used for cold storage, and what percentage would be coming from pure oil and gas industries? Any breakup on that?
About two-thirds would be what we sell as equipment and spares. And about a third would be what we call as the package thing, which goes to the plants, petrochemical plants, etc. So since you don't have an overall number, let me put it this way. The refrigeration business is roughly about 30-35% of KPCL, and this will continue to be around that space. One-third would be what is called as the bare shaft compressors, which would be the ammonia compressors, spares, etc. And no, two-thirds would be that, and one-third of that would be the plants, which will be what is packaged plants, which goes for the petrochemical industries.
Got it. So on this products which we sell, two-thirds of the business, who would be our major clients, sir? Do we sell to players like Blue Star, etc., who go on, or OEMs like Blue Star who go out and then do the installation work at clients and they prepare this fulfillment centers or refrigerant centers? Who would be our clients in this?
See, the names that you mentioned are not so much on the industrial space where we operate. The cold chains, food storage, ice plants, fisheries, they tend to be done by local OEM, like the meat processing plants, etc., are all put by local OEMs. May not be the big names that you mentioned. They do the plant, they do the paneling, the ducting, the whole lot of things. We supply them the bare shaft compressor. They would do the entire ice plant, as you call it, or the cold plant, as we would be knowing. Only very few of the pharma or food processing kind of space is done by the names that you mentioned. The screw compressor, the Kione series that we will put in the market, will end up addressing the requirement of these organized players as well. They currently would be importing or having one or two local assemblers as well, but we will be able to supply to them.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, my last question would be on our revenue target from next 2 to 3 year perspective. So when we talk about this 2,000 crore rupees of top line, so which segment will see a major growth? Do we see a mix of gas increasing from current 40-45 to 60-65, or some other segment you see growing at a much faster pace?
What we have been saying is the split between the three would continue to be about the same. Roughly about 25 for air, about 30 to 35 for the refrigeration business, and about 35 to 40 for the gas business. This split we expect would continue even at the level of 2000 and above, unless there is a significant change coming out of an inorganic move, which is very difficult to predict or say at this stage.
Got it. And what levels of margins can we predict when we reach a revenue of, say, plus 1500 and in 2000 range?
I think it would be too early to predict, but our target would be to always to improve these margins. Current margins will definitely be there, but we could be able to improve them further as the economies of the scales will be achieved.
Sir, the reason why I'm asking this question, I believe last time we discussed, we have capacity for around 1600 kind of a top line. We won't be requiring any incremental capex. As a result, what would be the margin? So even if you don't reach 2000, even if you reach say 1500-1600 over the next 1.5 year, 2 year, what kind of margins do we envisage then?
I think you can definitely look at that. Our existing margins will continue to be at, we'll be able to continue with the existing margins or better it. So you have our history of last margins. I would not like to specifically put a figure to the margins that we will be looking at the enhanced growth rate. But as the volume increases, margins will always increase because the overheads will get spread over the larger volume.
Got it. Got it. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
You have to give us some room in this specific case because we deal predominantly with tender businesses and government customers. So let's play it carefully.
Got it, sir. Got it. That was really helpful and thank you so much for patiently replying to each of them. All the best for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Manish Goyal from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manish.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Thank you so much.
Mr. Manish Goyal, please use the handset. We are unable to hear you very clearly. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Please go ahead.
Sir, with the new product launches, what we have planned across screw compressors as well as probably in the refrigeration space. So how do we see our addressable market increasing in each of the segment? If you can just give us a perspective and what kind of market share we should probably aim over next couple of years.
Manish, I think what we have been saying is as we grow towards 1,500-2,000 crore size, our split between the three segments would continue to be around the same of 25, roughly 30-35 on refrigeration and about 35-40 on gas. Now, even at these scale, our market share would still be fairly small or modest in air compression business. It would be reasonably small even in the gas and refrigeration business, both of which I would rate them as what I call as global business. There is no boundaries or borders across which these are done or commissioned. So consequently, since we are also looking at addressing markets in the Middle East and Asia, etc., we would still be a relatively small player. The global market size of all combined would be significantly higher. We are talking of, if you include, including the comfort compressors, we are talking of an $80 billion market. Even if you take that off, you're still talking of at least about a $40 to $45 billion market. So it's a large market. So we would still be a small player. There is enough headroom for us to grow.
Okay. No, I was just trying to get a perception as to, because the industrial segment where we probably are were not present significantly was around 4,000 crores market, and on the other side we were probably in 2,000 crore market in the gas and refrigeration area. So just trying to get a sense that how it would probably pan out over.
You're right as far as the domestic is concerned, and you're right in that. Even there in the air compression of the 4,000 to 5,000 crore market, we would still be very small with the kind of numbers we're looking at.
Okay, and also probably we are seeing that MNC competition is now increasing with, especially with Gardner Denver merging with Ingersoll, and they have already planned a lot of products in the industrial compressor segment. So the competition intensity also probably would be increasing over there.
All I can say is that in India, a fully integrated manufacturer which will be cost competitive and performance-wise comparable, there are not going to be many, because many of the names that you mentioned and some which you didn't mention, most of them have their value chain not entirely in India. Parts come from different parts of the world and they're put together. Consequently, going forward, we will not only be performance-wise competitive, but in terms of cost and positioning, we will also be competitive.
Wonderful, sir. And last question on the, probably second last, what would be the pricing for the booster compressor as compared to the mother compressor, sir?
It's a tender business, Manish.
Okay. But ideally, would it be probably, say, historically we saw that mother compressor ranges from 1 crore to 1.2 crore, so this would be ideally...
Yeah, this is only about between half to a third of that price. So this is somewhere in the range of between 40 to 60 lakhs. We'll have to be careful what we talk of as absolute value. But they have two sizes which is popular, 22 kilowatt and 37 kilowatt. So they would be in a range anywhere between 40 to 60 lakhs each.
Okay. And last question, sir, if we can get the numbers for what was the order inflow number in the Q3 and comparative number, and as well as order book is 1200, and what was the comparative number? Thank you, sir.
Now you'll have to give me some time. Q3 numbers separately we have?
I don't have. Manish, I can give you YTD numbers.
YTD is got. See, we booked about a 900 odd crore in the first 9 months. And today we're sitting with about 1200. So we have 300 crores coming in from the last year after execution. Generally, you can take it you're booking about 300 crores a quarter.
Sure, sir. Sure. Okay. And you did mention that Q4, despite the large base in last year's Q4, we'll be able to see double-digit growth.
Yeah. See, Q4 is always for us a time when the customers and we are both on the same page as far as completing orders and packages are concerned. So all the hesitancy, delay, etc., vaporizes in Q4 because they too want the billings to happen. So they chase us, we chase them, and so we are both in the same page. So we should have a usual record Q4 as always.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Jaydeep Merchant from Janak Merchant Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. My question is on the road railer business. You mentioned that the Indian Railways is looking at buying the road railer. Can you let us explain, from what we understand, currently it is going from Delhi to Chennai, but you mentioned the container corridor is looking to buy these now. So how will this, what is the potential of this business, sir?
So what we today do is we are the only approved operator of road railers. There are only one route that is sanctioned by the government, that is from Chennai to Delhi and Delhi to Chennai. So that's the only route that is operational and we are the only people running it. Currently, we form the entire train, which consists of anywhere from 35 to 50 road railer wagons connected together, and they run back and forth. Now, what the government is proposing is, can they take this model and they themselves champion and run it? This is one thought, whether they would like to do it under Gati Shakti program. The other incremental step that they would consider based on the requirement that is being put out by the container train operators is, the container trains are largely being run by 6 to 8 private operators even as we speak. They run their own containers as a train formation in different sectors. Now what they are proposing is, if you don't clear a complete railer to run as a separate end-to-end, would you allow us to just attach some of these railers to our container trains and run them in the sectors that we are allowed to? In which case, two things will happen. The railer, which is our interest really, to sell the railer, manufacture and sell the railers, that can be made and sold to all these people who want to buy from us. Second is, this railer will be running on different sectors, different routes, so that the benefit that customers in Delhi and Chennai are seeing would also be available to people in other parts of the country. So this is a first baby step in getting it more globalized. Like we say, it is all WIP, it would be done only when it is done. So we are still working on it along with the partners who are also keen to have it being done, but this is all WIP still.
Okay, so from what my understanding is, you'll be making the railers.
That's our interest. That's our only real long-term interest. Rest of it is a technology demonstrator process to show that this is an efficient, viable, and cost-effective intermodal transport available to carry high-value goods.
So if we have to make, say, 100 railers or 200 or 500, if you did this, must have done a study as to how, if this was implemented in 5 or 10 routes, how many railers would be sold? Do you have any kind of thought on that, sir?
Thank you for patiently holding, ladies and gentlemen. We have the line back for the management. Sir, you may please go ahead. Mr. J.D. Merchant, you may please repeat your question. Thank you.
Yeah. So, sir, if this were to be implemented in, say, 5 or 10 routes, would we be supplying, say, 50, 100, 200? I mean, do you have any kind of sense of how big this can be?
I'll give you an idea of what we are currently doing. We are running about 135 road railers at the moment as wagons, along with our train. We make them into trains and run them. Now, if 8 to 10 such routes were to take up, none of them would start running more than 5, 10 at a time. So this will scale up gradually. I think this is going to be a typical S-curve, lot of effort, lot of noise, little on the ground in the first couple of years, and then it starts hitting the tipping point, and then you have lots and lots of them coming in. So we need to have the patience to take it through the next 2 years of running it, and then only it will come to tremendous scale.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the lineup, Gaurav Singh from Sarat Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Gaurav Singh, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Mr. Gaurav Singh, your line is unmuted. You may unmute yourself on your device and ask your question. We move on to the next question as we have not received any response from the line. Next question is from the line of Vijay Karpe from Bryanston Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity and a happy new year to the entire team of Kirloskar Pneumatics. My first question is, we will be getting into the export market, mostly Middle Eastern market and the Southeast market. So what are the risks involved over here and how are we taking care of risks like cost overruns and trade receivable issues?
I am not able to completely get your question, but to the extent what I have understood, let me say, these again are working through technical advisors or consultants. We call them as EPC contractors, and we would work with them and the customers together. We will work on packages which would be made, tested at our factory, and then they will be taken there for installation and commissioning. So we don't do anything at the site at any of these overseas locations. We only do the installing and commissioning of them, which is a short, predictable kind of a period there. Generally, these kind of global tenders, we try and execute in short periods. But this is something that we will have to learn as we go forward. The last one that we have done has taken us almost 12 months, which is not very abnormal in these kind of things, but that's at extraordinary times when we are having the world being disturbed by this COVID. Normal times, we can do this in about 6 to 9 months, and they would be relatively more predictable, unlike projects which have to be done at site or at the place where these have to be installed. Does it answer your question? I'm not too sure I covered what you asked.
Yes, that covers the question. My second question is, I was just going through the segment-wise revenues and assets. So, what is this unallocable corporate assets worth 390 crores and how much of capital employed in road railers? Hello?
Just a minute. Hold on for a minute, please. Yes. Hello?
Yes.
You are looking at net unallocable corporate assets liabilities, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you recall, I did mention that, I have a cash and bank net cash surplus of about 192 crores and another 30-40 crores in the terms of long-term investments. So these are main part of this, apart from the other assets of the owned by the corporate, which are not business assets. And on the road railer front, it is about 34-35 crores.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question due to time constraint. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dhirendra Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Let me thank you, Mr. Srinivasan, Mr. Kolhatkar, for taking out time and discussing performance in great detail. I also thank all participants for joining the call. Before we close, Mr. Srinivasan, would you like to give any closing remarks?
Yes. So let me say thank you all very much. I know there were other equally interesting or even more interesting calls going out, and thanks for participating in our call. We as at Kirloskar, we will try and be as transparent, as open, and as clear as possible in what we would like to put out. We don't want to give any kind of a feeling that we would be, let's say, restrained in telling you what we are doing. We will do the best we can. Q4 should hopefully be good, and we will come back with much stronger results to show in the first quarter next year. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, sir. And we can close the call now. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.